Acts chapter 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him, said him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. There came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called, and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayers heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee. Thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. And it came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Look back, if you will, to verse number 24. It says in verse 24, And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Cornelius waited for them. Cornelius knew they were on the way. God had revealed that someone was coming to him. And so he waited. I want to preach on this thought tonight for a little while. Don't have much of a sermon, but I do have a message from the Lord for us tonight. And the thought is this, who is waiting for you? He was waiting for a man. He knew his name. He knew where he was lodged. He didn't know all that he was to speak to him about, but he knew certain things about this particular thing that was going to happen. And he waited there. Who is waiting for you? In this passage of scripture, we see the conversion of Cornelius, his house, and his near friends. And as we think about this, let's think first of all about the character of Cornelius. A lot of people are waiting that are in jungles. A lot of people are waiting that are in heathen conditions until they don't know a thing in the world about God. But Cornelius seemed to have a good knowledge of God, but he didn't have the knowledge he needed to be saved. He was sort of a Gentile Nicodemus in the fact that he was religious, very religious, and doing a lot of good things, but he still needed to be saved. When we look at this man, we see the Holy Spirit in this passage of scripture describes him before he got saved. And to be honest with you, before he got saved, he was a man of such character that he puts a lot of Christian folk to shame just to see his character before he got saved. Let's look and see what the Bible said about him. The Bible says in verse number 2 that he was a devout man. And I looked up that word devout. I knew somewhat about what it meant, but Webster said that it means a pious attitude toward God and also practical piety toward our parents. And I thought maybe we didn't understand, some of us, what pious means. And so Webster said it means having or showing a dutiful spirit of reverence for God or an earnest wish to fulfill religious obligations. And so this man Cornelius, though he was lost, he was devout and he was religious and he had a good attitude toward God, and he also had a desire to fulfill religious obligations. The Bible said that he feared God with all his house. Not only, Brother James, did he have a right attitude toward God, but he had taught it to his house. That's what I believe a lot of Christians have missed it maybe right there. But anyway, he seemed, I mean, if you look at him and just read this description the Holy Spirit gave of this man, you'd think that man don't even need salvation. But I promise you that we'll not get to heaven by our goodness. We're going to get to heaven by grace through faith. And so he needed to be born again. And so he's sort of like a Gentile Nicodemus, as I said. And the Bible said he gave much alms to much people. And so he was liberal in giving, though he was lost. He was still liberal, and he gave whenever somebody had a need, they could count on Cornelius. Not only that, but the Bible said over in verse 30, and we won't look again, we read it to you, but he said, while I was fasting. And so this man was fasting. I'm not going to ask us to raise our hands how long it's been since we fasted a season for the Lord, but I'll tell you right now, it seems to be sort of a lost thing in the church. And if we look back through this Bible right here and we study Old and New Testament, we'll find that whenever something needed to be done and God needed to move in a mighty way, we'll find all through this Bible the people of God practiced fasting and praying. It's in this Bible over 100 times. And so when it's in the Bible over 100 times, there must be a doctrine concerning fasting. But how long has it been since you heard a good old time sermon, somebody get up and preach on fasting and get us under conviction where we started practicing it? I wonder how many Christians, and I know we don't go out and boast, and I know we're supposed to pray in secret and we're supposed to fast in secret. And everybody in here may fast on a regular basis. I do not know whether you do or whether you don't, but I know one thing, we're living in a day when even Christian people don't fast much. Over yonder in India, when we went over there last year, and we're going to go into this a fishing village where they've had a history of persecuting Christians, and we did not know what would befall us there. We did not know whether we'd be stoned and they'd throw maybe petrol, they call it, on us and burn us. I mean, in that region, they burned an Australian missionary and his two sons in the Jeep about 5 or 6 years ago. So we did not know what would befall us. And a good godly man by the name of Barnabas over there in India fasted 40 days for us before we got there. And they're fasting over there now. And must eat. I mean, they need something to eat. They don't get nothing but carbohydrates, but they get that rice. And when you eat that rice, your belly goes to growling and wants something to eat in another 3 or 4 hours. But they're fasting over there. And so we need to get under a burden of fasting. I didn't know I was going to talk about that, but I've got a message on fasting. You want me to come preach it? I know you do. I can tell by the way you look at me. Amen. And so he fasted. And not only did he fast, Brother Frank, but the Bible said he prayed to God, A-L-W-A-Y. And I know that's old English way of saying he just prayed always. He prayed all the time. He prayed without ceasing. Amen. Pretty good man. Looked like a good man. No, he needed to be saved by the grace of God. But you know, that's exactly how it happens. When the heathen come to the light that they have, when they come to the light of creation, and when they come to the light of conscience, and if they have the law, if they come to the light of conscience, and then they come to the light of commandment, then when they come to the light that they have and they're seeking God with all their heart, God knows their heart. And when they do that, I promise you, God in mercy and in grace to that individual, he'll call the missionary there to come and preach the gospel of Christ to them, and they will get saved. God will open that heart when they begin to call on the Lord. Did you know that? He'll do that. And Cornelius was that kind of man. He was calling on the Lord. He didn't know the Lord, but he was calling on him. And so he was influential. He had to be. And the reason I say that is because all his kinsmen and near friends left what they needed to do and gathered at his house. Let's say Brother Frank says, I want some volunteers. We're going to have some cottage prayer meetings among the members of our church. And I wonder how many of us would have enough influence among our family and our friends together, our whole household together, how to come to the prayer meeting and gather our near friends, and they'd wait maybe for hours and hours and hours for somebody to come in, for Frank to come in or somebody to preach to them. I mean, that's the kind of influence he had. And I doubt very seriously if I could get that kind of crowd together. I don't have that kind of influence. Amen. But anyhow, he had good influence. And not only that, but he was obedient to the angel that he saw in the vision. He was obedient to the angel. Not only that, but he desired to hear God's word. Verse 33. I like the way that says that. That's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. He said, we're all here. He said, all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Wouldn't it be something, Frank, if every time we got up to preach, that in the pews of the church, is sitting on the edge of that pew, leaning forward, want to hear every word that God commanded you to say. Amen. Sometimes I think it's ho-hum, another sermon, I think. Sometimes, familiarity breeds contempt, and we're not anxious and hungry to hear what God has to say. But did you know whether he's a good preacher or a bad preacher? If he's prayed and God, the Holy Ghost, has put something on his heart from the Word of God to stand up and preach to us, what we ought to do is lean forward and try to get every word hungry to receive what God has for us, because he'll take that word and do something in our lives to make us more like Jesus. Amen. No matter what the character of the preacher is, I'm talking about his delivery, and no matter how he preaches a sermon, thank God, God can use that to shape our lives more like Christ. Amen. And so he desired to hear from Peter. He was anxious to hear from Peter. I believe he was just chomping at the bits, waiting and wanting him to get on there. And so he gathered everybody together. Can you see the excitement in Cornelius as he went around to his family and said, there's somebody coming? And he told that story about that angel. And he said, God told me his name. Said, his name is Simon. Said, his surname is Peter. Said, he told me where he's at. Said, he's down yonder 30 miles. He's down there 30 miles south from here. And I'm going to send down there. I've done sent down there after him, and he's coming up here, and we're supposed to hear what he has to say from God. He's got something to say from God, and he told all of them. Can you see the excitement as he went around, anxious for his family, anxious for his friends, to get in there and hear what God had to say? He was not only interested in something for his own heart, but thank God he was interested in the hearts of others. Amen. He seems to me, I like him pretty good before he even got saved. I tell you right now, I'm going to really like him, thank God, since he got saved. And when I get home, glory to God, I'm going to hug his neck and say, I like you, Cornelius. Amen. Praise God, because he's in heaven home right now while I'm trying to preach to you. Because thank God he obeyed the angel. Not only did he desire to hear the word of God, but just as soon as he heard it, hallelujah, look, I want to get to service like that sometime. I don't know if I ever will. I'd like to be up a preaching sometime, Jesus saved, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost fell on everybody lost in there, and every one of them, bless God, got saved all at the same time. You know what? He didn't give no invitation. Peter preached Jesus and didn't give no invitation, and it got to a place where they all, bless God, saw him somehow by faith, and all of them reached out by faith and grabbed a hold of him, because the Holy Ghost fell on the whole bunch. I tell you right now, and he got saved, and his friends got saved, and his family got saved while he was sitting there listening to Peter preach. Amen. I tell you right now, I believe God's got power to do that today. I believe God can do anything but fail. Amen. And so thank God they was there anxious, and they wanted to hear the word of God, and not only to hear it, but to obey it. He was there anxious to hear what God had to say, and he is eager, glory to God, just as soon as he heard it, to obey it. Amen. I tell you right now, they ain't a bit of use in us coming to church, sit down in the pew just to hear the word of God and not obey it. Amen. Is that right or not?
Amen.
I'll tell you this. I'll just say this. I'm just, Joanne ain't got an ounce of sense, praise God. But I do believe this. I know Jesus, and I'm a nut screwed on the right bolt. And whenever I got off on that fasting a while ago, you know what? It wasn't me got off there. Did you know that? That was the Holy Ghost said that to you, and you can just let it be like water off. to. You can go do what you want to. You say, I can't do it for health reasons, this, that, and other. But you read Isaiah 58, praise God, and it says, if you do do it, then will your health spring forth speedily. Amen. That'll help you a whole lot better. It'll help you a whole lot more than going to a doctor. It'll help you a whole lot more than doing this, that, and other to try to get healthy. Why don't we just believe the Word of God? I tell you why we don't. Because we're a house full of unbelievers a lot of times. We believe Jesus saved, but we believe the rest of that stuff is just fairy tales, and it's just something we don't need to do because it's for the day way back yonder, and the Lord ain't the same today as He was then. He's the same yesterday and today and forever, and if we obey the Word of God, then the Word of God will do what it says it'll do. It cannot fail. It cannot lie. We'll not lie, and God will do what He said He's going to do. Amen. I didn't that in, but it's already in. Praise God. And I didn't put it in, by the way. The Holy Ghost put it in. And I know that to be a fact from experience. Amen. I know that to be a fact. Amen. And so read Isaiah 58 and see all the benefits of fasting God's way instead of the Pharisees' way. Amen. And I promise you right now, it'll get the job done. Amen. I don't charge you a thing in the world for that. It's free. We see the character of this man. And not only did the Holy Ghost describe him like that, but it was evident on the outside. Said two of his best household servants and a devout soldier who served him continually. He sent them down there. And when he sent them down there, here's what they said about him. In verse number 22, these close associates described him. Said he's a just man. Said he fears God. Said he's of good report among all the nation of the Jews. So folk could see what kind of man he was. So Cornelius truly was a good man, but he's still lost. Needed someone to bring the good news of Christ to him. And so he waited. He waited to know what God had to say to him. He wanted to find out because he believed that God had a message for him. Wouldn't it be good, as I said a while ago, if when we come in the house of the Lord, that we would actually believe that God loved us so much that He'd speak to a preacher's heart and design a message that would fit our life and bless our life and make us more like Jesus. He believed that. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Who's waiting for you? Somebody's waiting for you. You've got a circle of influence that only you probably can reach. You say, I don't believe that. Well, believe what you want to. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost fell on these people here. The Holy Ghost fell on Peter. Peter was a Spirit-baptized man. The Holy Spirit baptized him into the body of Christ there on the day of Pentecost. And he was a Spirit-filled man. And he was a Spirit-led man. I mean, instant obedience. He said, without gainsaying, we came to you. And so we find here that Peter was filled with the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God. And we need to be the same way. And in that influence, that circle of influence we have, we can reach somebody for Christ. You shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You have the Spirit, don't you? If you don't, then you need to get saved. It said, if any man have not the Spirit, he's none of his. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you understand or think much about it or not, but in the passage that I read to you and in the following chapter that I didn't read, Peter goes back to the apostles and gives an account of how the Gentiles received the gospel and got saved. And he talks again and tells about that angel that appeared to Cornelius. Four times in this scripture, in Acts 10 and 11, it talks about an angel coming, and Cornelius seen him in a vision. And isn't it amazing? An angel is a perfect being. An angel cannot make a mistake. A holy angel will never, ever make one error. And they have power to execute all the will of God to their assigned task. Isn't it amazing that the angel didn't just go over there and say, Cornelius, Jesus died on a cross. Jesus was buried and rose again the third day. And if you and your house and friends will believe on him, you'll be saved. The angel didn't go, Frank, and preach the gospel. The angel got the preacher to come. You see, God has designed it this way, that not one person will be in heaven. Listen to me. How can they hear? Listen, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? The Ethiopian eunuch's riding down through the desert, and the Holy Ghost said to Philip to leave a big revival and go down to the desert. And he went down there, and the Holy Spirit joined him to the chariot, and he ran along beside that chariot. And the Ethiopian eunuch read from Isaiah chapter 53 about Jesus, but he wasn't understanding. And so the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip, and he hollered up and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I? Watch this. Except some man guide me." Did you get that? I don't believe there'll be one person in heaven that God did not allow some individual or maybe a multitude of people to get the gospel to them. I believe for every soul that's saved, there'll be a soul winner, that soul will be accredited to their account, at least one soul winner. I believe that. Now, you can believe what you want to, and I know God's sovereign, and I know we could throw Bibles out of an airplane down into a jungle, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because he cannot discern them. And you might throw down Gideon Bibles with a guide in front in their language they could read and get them to cry, but somebody has to guide them in the Scripture and show them Christ. They can read about him in the Old Testament, but they can't see him except some man who's seen him can guide them. And so he's going to use men. And so we're looking here at the man Cornelius waited for. His name is Simon. His surname is Peter. It's not Simon the Tanner. Peter's staying at his house. It's a particular person. And God has a particular purpose for you. And there's a circle of influence. And there's people that you're going to have to reach. And you're going to have to get close enough to God, get right enough with God, until you say, "Lord, here am I. Send me. I'm going to go." And you need to pray like Peter prayed. And when Peter prayed, God connected him with the sinner he's supposed to talk to. And the reason why we're not seeing no vision, the reason why we're not seeing nobody go to, is because we're not praying aright and getting a hold of God. When you get in touch with God and talk to God, the Holy Ghost will get in touch with you and talk to you, and he'll tell you who to go to. Somebody's waiting for you. Who's waiting for you? Amen. Now listen, it's the truth. And if we're not doing it, the fact of the matter is, we're sinning worse than a man making liquor. Worse than a man drinking liquor. Because we're hiding the gospel. If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their mind. And so we're the only ones who's got the gospel. We're the only ones who has the message. There's no other person on planet Earth that can bring the message to them except a Christian, because we're the guardians. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We're the ones that he has chosen, and he saved us and sent us to go and carry this message right here. And so when we look at this man right here, we need to try to find a place, a niche in here where we can apply ourselves in this. And so Peter, he was over there praying. Now, this I believe. I believe that God would have saved Cornelius if he'd had to use somebody beside Peter. I believe that. I believe that. But Peter was up on the housetop praying. He went up there to pray, and when he went up there to pray, God spoke to his heart. God showed him that he could go to the Gentiles. God showed him that he needed to put aside that old prejudice. Peter was willing to swallow all the preconceived ideas that he had. And he is willing to swallow the prejudice that a Jew was not to go into a Gentile and have anything to do with a Gentile. And he did that. He got right with God when God showed him that vision, and God showed him that vision because he was praying, talking to the Lord. He was willing to be challenged by his Jewish friends. Matter of fact, if you went over in chapter 11, they contended with him. And Peter then told them this story, how it all come about. And then they accepted the fact that the Gentiles had been saved. But anyhow, we see the man then that Cornelius waited for. And then we see the message that he brought. The message that Cornelius waited for. In verse number chapter 10 and verse number 6, here's what the Bible said. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. A sinner's not going to get saved until we tell them what they ought to do to be saved. The average person out here outside these walls right here believes you go to heaven by your good works outweighing your bad works. They believe that. They believe, as they've watched television, that Peter has the keys to the pearly gates, and he's the one up there weighing your goodness against your badness when you die, that he's going to weigh it out, and you're going to go either place based on how good you've been. And that's exactly what the average person believes. They need to know, and we need to tell them. And so this man was sent from God with a message. And I like it. Here's what it said in that last verse, and I want to read it again in verse 33, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Who told Peter what to say? He's waiting on a message. Cornelius is waiting on a message, and the message he's waiting on is the message that God has commanded you to tell me. Amen. Do you know the message? You say, preacher, look, I'm not trained in the gospel message. You don't have to be trained in the gospel message. You don't have to be trained in the gospel message. Can any one of you tell me how to get from right here and get right down to the very heart of Ramseur? Can you tell me how to get there? How many of you can tell me, let's go a little farther, how many of you can tell me how to get to Asheboro? Raise your hand. You know, that's a silly question, isn't it? The reason you can tell me is because you've been there. You know. And the only way you can tell anybody how to get saved is to be saved. That's the only way. If you've drunk from the living water, you can run down the street of your Samaria and say, come see a man told me all things ever I did, is not this the Christ? You can point people to Christ. You don't have to have no theological degrees. You don't have to have no great seminary education. All you have to have is the Holy Ghost on the inside and a testimony burning in your heart what Jesus done for you. Amen. A message of saving grace. And somebody is waiting for you. Ronnie, she's far more bold than I am, and sometimes in these women conferences, she'll get in there and she'll have them women just ready to pull her hair out. She'll say, does your grandchildren know your testimony? She'll say, how long has it been since you told your testimony to your grandchildren? By the way, I'll just use her. It's her fault. Does your grandchildren know your testimony? How long has it been since you gave your testimony? How long has it been since you gave out the gospel message to somebody? How long has it been since you was praying and God showed you where you're supposed to go? Peter was up there. He went up there just to pray. I like to heard him pray after the Lord. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord, he'd heard the Lord pray so much, brother, that I believe he prayed a whole lot like Jesus. And I'd like to heard him up there worshiping God, communing with God, and tell him how much he loved him, praising God. And then all of a sudden, as he was praying, he fell into a trance. You say, preacher, now I don't want to do that. Why not? Amen. It's a state of mind of ecstasy. He got into a spiritual state that was on out yonder. Amen. he was floating in another level. He hit another gear, amen. And he got into a place where there wasn't no static between him and the Holy Ghost, amen. And I want to be there, don't you? Amen. I know you're looking at me funny tonight, and anyhow, he got there, and the Holy Ghost spoke to him and told him. He said, the Holy Ghost said to him, he said, don't you call nothing common or unclean that I've cleansed. And he taught him that lesson about going to the Gentiles. And then he spoke to his heart, and he said, these three men coming by here to get you, Peter, and I want you to go with them, amen. And you know what I believe? I believe this. I believe if somehow we'd get under enough conviction tonight to see our neglect and our lack of prayer, our lack of hearing from God, our lack of going to who we're supposed to go to, and we'd get down and get right with God, I believe God would speak to our heart and tell us who we need to go to. Why is the church pew so empty tonight? Is it because Super Bowl night? Is that why it is? No. It ain't got a thing in the world to do with the world. It ain't got a thing in the world to do with the devil, because he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. The church pews are empty simply because of the fact that the children of God have not prayed and got a burden and a vision from the Lord about somebody they need to go to. Because if the Holy Ghost connects you up with somebody, bless God, is praying on the other end, they're going to get saved and the pews are going to fill up. And the problem is we're looking to Preacher Frank's good preaching and the singing and the worship and saying, here's the building. What we need to do is get out in the highways and hedges and go where the Holy Ghost tells us to go and do what the Holy Ghost tells us to do, and sinners will be converted. They will be. And so that's what happened here. Peter is praying. I don't know what he's all praying about, but I know God spoke to his heart while he's praying. And I want to say this too, the best time in the whole wide world for the Holy Spirit to speak to you distinctly, not in an audible voice, but much clearer than that, about something in your life, something you need to do, give you a vision, send you on an assignment, put something on your heart, do something in your life. The greatest time is when you're on your knees praying before God. If you talk to God, I promise you this, He'll talk back to you. He'll never give you the silent treatment. We give Him the silent treatment, but He'll never give us a silent treatment. If you call on God, He'll answer you. He said He would. And He'll do that, and He did that for Peter. And He gave him a message to carry, and the message was the same message that's all through the book of Acts. It's a message of the cross, how that He was delivered up for our offenses and that He was raised for our justification. So He preached the cross and the resurrection and said, if y'all will believe that, you'll be saved. And that's exactly what took place while He's preaching it. The every last one of them got saved. And so Cornelius, his house, and his near friends are waiting on us in heaven because they waited for the message and they received it. Who is waiting for you? Who is waiting for this gospel message from you? Who? Somebody is. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, though he knew it not, he was waiting for Philip, and Philip came on time, got to him with a message. He's in heaven now. Down there by the riverbank, Lydia, though she knew not, she is waiting for somebody, she is down there praying, and God sent Paul down there. She's in heaven now, her and her house. In Ghana, West Africa, a woman by the name of Nanafia in a guest house. She is waiting for me. She knew it not, but she got her conviction because I prayed. And she was standing 10 o'clock at night in the guest house door with a Bible in her hand. And one would come in, she told the interpreter, I want to be saved. She is saved now. There's a boy, Apollonedu, in my Bible. I've got Obed's latest newsletter. It's got Apollonedu right there. He's grown up to be a young man. He studied 2 years in their little seminary, and now he's pastoring a church in the village. Though he knew it not, as a young man, he waited. He sat down there with the young'uns, and now he got saved because he's waiting for me, and he knew it not. Amen. Over there in India right now, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of people in darkness waiting for me, Brother Gary Wood and Scott Heffner, to come. The Holy Ghost has put it on our heart, and they're over there, and they're praying, they're crying, they're Hindus, they're worshiping, and they're waiting for us. Over yonder in Africa right now, there's hundreds of women waiting on Ronnie to come. They're waiting. They're in prisons. They're in deplorable condition. They're in schools. The young people are. They're waiting on her to come. They're waiting for this message right here. They're waiting. Did you know somebody is waiting for you? God's reminding us that somewhere, somebody is waiting for us right now. Somebody. Who's waiting for you? All over the world, they're sitting in darkness, blinded by the god of this world, waiting. They're living in fear, waiting. They're longing for peace, waiting. They're longing for forgiveness, waiting. They're battered and bound by Satan in the fetters of sin. They're waiting on you and waiting on me. They're literally sitting on death row, condemned already. Waiting to hear God's message of deliverance from you, from me. Who's waiting for you? How many? How near are they? Family members? How far are they? Somebody on the other side of the world? Who's waiting for you? How long will they have to wait for you, for me? Jesus said, go, and I'll go with you. We know He'll keep His promise. If we'll go, He'll go with us. Would you go soul winning with Jesus? Would you go to see a friend, a loved one, somebody that God put on your heart? If Jesus would go with you, would you go? You would, wouldn't you? I know you surely would. You would go. And so somewhere, someone is waiting for you. You know, Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, verse 8, when he heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah stood up and volunteered, and he said, here am I. Send me. Somebody is waiting. Who is waiting for you? God is speaking to your heart. Then you be responsive and do what you need to do.